Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Big Life podcast on Full Service Radio. We are your hosts, Lina Salazar
and Ingrid Vaishus,
broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C. When we are stressed and burned out, our lives become small. On the weekend, rather than taking a break from work email, we feel the urge to always be on. We can't sleep because our minds wander back to our to-do lists, and we skip lunch because we have back-to-back meetings. Living a big life is the opposite. We live beyond work and deadlines, and we prioritize the things that we value the most. In the Big Life podcast, we hold inspiring and honest conversations with locals about the aha moment that helped them transition to living a bigger and more fulfilling life.
We're very excited to welcome Sean Tabby, MS, MD, and orthopedic surgeon specializing in pediatric trauma, limb reconstruction, and cerebral palsy, who is also faculty at the George Washington School of Medicine. Sean will share his personal experience with burnout and stress, and will offer an insider's view of how medical professionals deal with stress. We will also dig deeper into the conversation about why stress is pervasive in the medical establishment, and why doctors are particularly susceptible to experiencing burnout. So let's dive in. Welcome, Sean. We're so happy to have you here today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So for all people on the other side who are listening to us, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? What got you into your medical practice?
Sure.
Why you're passionate, and then what happened along the way that led to stress and burnout for you?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, growing up, I think throughout my childhood, becoming a doctor was always a goal of mine. I think it started out initially, you know, from my parents. Growing up as first generation American, I think the medical field was always an area where my family wanted for themselves to kind of go into. So not being able to do that, I think they kind of put their goals onto myself. I did, you know, develop a passion through it in school, high school, got early experiences in the hospital setting and knew that it was something I wanted to do. Sports was always a huge part of my life as well. And through that, I met a lot of orthopedic surgeons from my own injuries and was able to shadow them. And I thought, you know, it would be a great kind of, you know, intertwining of my interest in sports and medicine, knowing that I probably wouldn't be a professional athlete myself, so, you know, take the next step, try to treat
the
and help
side.
Yeah, uh-huh. Athletes. So, you know, luckily for me, school, like, kind of did well in school enough to get into medical school in Chicago, and kind of from there, I focused my energy to, you know, getting an orthopedic residency and kind of go from there. I think for me, it was, my path was kind of directed early, and I bought into it, and I, you know, directed all my goals and my energy towards getting to that point, and not even realizing what it was taking on me as a toll. You know, there's a lot of time. I think the biggest stressor is that the amount of time you have to dedicate to getting to that goal. I think anyone can get there, but it's the hardest part is saying, okay, I'm going to put aside this amount of time to get there. And because of that, not only do you have to move away from a lot of your family and friends, but you also have to miss a lot of things that, you know, when you look back on, you're like, man, I wish I was there to celebrate my friend's wedding or to be there when my grandfather got sick. And as time goes on and you look back, I think you realize, you know, I missed all these things, and then that kind of adds up and takes a toll. And you know, not everything is easy. As you get older, your priorities change and shift. And, you know, I didn't even realize I was stressed probably till I was in the middle of medical school, and I just didn't feel like myself. my temper was starting to change. My mood, my energy level was changing, and that wasn't something that was normal for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think instead of always just discounting it as, you know, oh, I didn't get enough sleep or this, I finally started to accept that, you know, I am, in a way, becoming burned out and becoming, you know, not, I won't say totally depressed, but it's, you know, it's starting to, like, weigh on me. And, you know, I think it takes some courage and some self-reflection to finally accept that, because usually you just wanted to say, you know, it's fine, I'll get through it. So
you were in medical school when you started to notice all of these trends. And I feel like it's very interesting, because a lot of people who Lena and I talk to when we're working with burned out, stressed people, is that you're in it and you don't realize you're in it, right? Talking from my own personal experience, and you just mentioned that you're like, oh, I'll deal with it, I'm fine, it's not that big a deal. And when you're stepping away and looking at it, you realize, ooh, there's something here that's definitely not right. So did you take the approach of figuring out how to fix it while you were in medical school, or did you just like power through and then have like a real breakdown or something bigger happen once you were out of medical school and in practice, for example?
So yeah, I mean, I try to power through it. Mm-hmm. I think the culture of medicine is changing, but even 8 years ago when I was in the middle of my training, I think the culture was directed as you don't complain, you don't, you know, worry about yourself, you just have to power through and you have to get to where your ultimate goal is. You know, everyone else is dealing with it, so why don't you just, you know, deal with it? Mm-hmm. And it is kind of a very competitive arena, so to come out and say something or to even kind of accept it for yourself is hard. So initially I just tried to power through it. I found little things that I felt helped me, which started like my interest like in more just, you know, exercise and dedicating time for exercise on my own. You know, when you're involved in sports, team sports, you're always, you have a schedule set for you. So in college, I was a swimmer, so I had my schedule set. But after I stopped organized sports, then I kind of lost that, you know, dedication to
like the structure.
Structure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, started to make more time in med school to be like, okay, I need to set aside an hour a day to try to go to the gym and start a routine, because not only was it affecting my mental state, but I could see physically too. I'm like, you're changing. You're looking back and you're like, whoa, what happened to like how I was 3 years ago? And so I tried to dedicate more time to that, and that, you know, that helped. But it wasn't really, I still wasn't open to say like, oh, I'm like burned out, or I'm like, I'm not feeling right, you know? So I think once after medical school, went into residency, which is a whole different kind of beast on its own, even more stress in a lot of ways. I think that's when I started to really acknowledge it. And it started, you know, it was affecting my relationships. I was in a long-term relationship, knowing that it wasn't really going to work, but I was clinging on it because I think that was the only thing that was keeping me sane in a way, because I had that support and kind of keeping this person along with me, even though I knew that, you know, it wasn't long term, but it was just that extra comfort that I had, you know, having her, you know, in the same city as me. So I think once I came to the fact that, you know, I need to end this relationship, that's when I'm like, okay, Sean, look in the mirror. What's really like affecting you? Like, what's your end goal? Do you really love what you do? Is this really something you want to do? And if you do, and you want to be successful at it, then you got to make some big changes.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. So at that point, it was like, sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead. It's clear. Like, it's, you know that there's something wrong. You're trying to put like make changes, right?
Yeah.
1 hour to yourself, like more active. That's like the first step.
I
feel like we all get there, but then that wasn't enough, right? Because there's so much more beyond what was going on. So what was that breaking point? What did you do about it? And how did you, I don't want to say flip the switch, because I don't think it's that easy, but what made you kind of be like, okay, now I've like, what's my end goal? What do I want to do? Do I really love this? I'm not feeling great. What am I going to do about it?
I mean, I think the switch, the light bulb turned on when she moved out. She went back. I was living in St. Louis. She went back to California. I was in, you know, just my condo by myself for the first time in almost 9 years. So that's when I'm like, okay, I need to, this part of my life is over, and now I need to really make a change or like come up with a plan for the future. So, you know, if someone told me, oh, go talk to like someone about your feelings, I would always say, that's silly. I mean, I don't need to do that. Like, but that's when I'm like, I need, like, let me talk to someone, you know? You know, I talked to a therapist who, very informal, and who just listened to me and kind of like was like, all right, you know, you need to address these things. And what I realized is I wasn't communicating with people. Like, if I was stressed at work or if I felt some way, I felt like the only way to make that better was to just keep working and kind of show myself and prove myself. Yeah. And I was too focused on always having to prove myself or to like accomplish this goal. And he's like, you know, if you can't make anyone happy, you know, your perception is reality, and you know what other people like think of you is none of your business. So just do what makes you happy instead of doing what you think is going to make them happy or make you them like you or respect you more. So that was the big aha moment. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think it also affected my work or my performance in residency. Not that I was a bad physician, but I think other people, my mood was just affecting how I carried myself. And, you know, when you have your superiors kind of like reprimanding you for little things, and then you look back and you're like, well, why did I do that? And then you realize, oh, I did that because I'm just not happy. So that all that together kind of happened at the same point when I'm like, you know, I need to do something. And talking to this therapist helped a lot. Talking to other, you know, residents, you know, resident groups in the hospital that were going through the same thing. And then just setting up meetings with my superiors, like on a weekly basis, to be like, okay, this is what's going on this week. This is what I feel could change, and going from there.
I love that many of the things you say, the burnout and stress doesn't happen in a vacuum, right? Like, it was impacting other aspects of your life, like your relationships and work. And I like that you sort of like highlighted the fact that you were not communicating and you weren't connecting to people, right? Which shows the importance of fulfilling sort of like these basic needs of connection, belonging, etc. I like that you just mentioned something, that you started talking to other colleagues, right? Other physicians, etc. How did that happen? What came out of that? How were they feeling in relationship with like the stress levels?
Well, I mean, it was brought to my attention through like, you know, just there's a social team like for residents, like to kind of help them with, because there's a lot of resident burnout. So every program has like, you know, a coordinator, and she told me that there's other, you know, residents in other fields that kind of meet. So, and that's how I got involved in that. And I think the biggest thing was for me is just to see other people felt the same way, and how I knew them, you know, around the hospital and in a professional setting, but I didn't know what they were feeling inside. So it kind of like opened that door of saying, oh, other people that I feel like are really good at what they do also are feeling the same way as me. So they're, you know, it's, again, it's like this macho culture in medicine, very much like, you know, the corporate world or military, where it's like everyone is strong, no one burns out, no one needs sleep, no one needs to eat. You just like, you work,
you power
through. And, you know, but it truly isn't like that. So even though you it's like you should know that, it's common sense, like there's no way anyone can go through such training and be perfect, but you doubt that. It's just like that, like Instagram now, you look around, you're like, oh, everyone's life is perfect, like and that's how it was to me. Like, I felt like everyone else was balancing everything, and they were, you know, great, and I was the only one. So
as you have like seen the problem, addressed it, looked at it, what do you do now that is indispensable for your just to stay out of that stress, or when you are stressed, because I don't think we can live without stress.
Yeah.
But how do you handle it? How do you manage it now? And what barriers have you found that make it a little bit more difficult or challenging to kind of stick to those things that you know make you feel
right.
great?
Well, I mean, I think communication is huge now that I'm like an attending, and I can kind of run the ship a little mm-hmm. more. Every day before like a busy clinic, I like to meet with my group, you know, the nurses, the medical assistants, nurse practitioners, whoever's working, and be like, okay, these are things that I can anticipate encountering stress. You know, it's going to get busy. You know, I might be short here. I might be there. Let's like, or if you're feeling this, come and tell me. So I think team meetings before to kind of prepare, and also kind of a recap in the mm-hmm. end of the day is been really important. I like to, at lunch, you know, everyone usually likes to go their own way, but if people want, I'm all about having like a group lunch, so you kind of can just decompress together. I think that's important. I think morale is very important. If you have good morale and kind of a good team environment, then even if it's stressful, it can be in a way fun. Like, you know, it's like an accomplishment to get through. So I think that's the biggest thing I'm trying to do. And also, luckily for me, being able to like educate new residents now and medical students, just talking to them and telling them my experiences in a way kind of helps me, because I feel like looking back, I'm like, now at least I can make something of the issues I dealt with. Mm-hmm. And in a way, you know, it's gratifying, has yeah. helped me throughout.
Sean, let me ask you a question. Yeah. How would you compare, let's say, the before and after? Like, what are the benefits of sort of like dedicating time for your team, working on morale, spending more time with family? What's the difference between Sean today and yesterday, let's yeah. say, and before burnout, in terms of productivity, in terms of performance, right? Because people tend to think, well, if I just don't work all the time, then I won't get to my goal as quickly as I can, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes I even think that, right? It's like, so what's your experience with that? How do you demystify the fact that we need to push through to be successful?
Well, I mean, I think productivity is hard to quantify. Mm-hmm. I think I'm as productive, but I feel I'm much more efficient.
Yeah.
When I was not managing my stress well, my day was revolved around work. So, for example, do 4 surgeries, go home, and just sit in front of the TV or fall asleep. But now, you know, I do the same amount of stuff at work, but when I go home, I'm energized. I can go to the gym. I can, you know, meet with friends. I mean, much more engaged. So, you know, it's hard to say, but from the feedback I get from the staff that I work with is that they are just happier in general, and it's affected their impression of the department. You know, so we always do the 360 evaluations on, like, you know, us as providers, and that's the biggest thing that they said. That they said they enjoy to come to work, and they don't think about the number of patients they're seeing. They're more thinking about the team atmosphere and the team environment they have. So, you know, I wish I could maybe answer your question in a more eloquent way, but it's, you know, it's just kind of more of, I guess, a mood thing than a productivity.
Which is powerful, right?
Yeah. It's a huge difference in the work environment, right? So I think this is a good point where we can take a short break. For those of you who just tuned in, we're talking to Sean Tabby, an orthopedic pediatric surgeon at GW University Hospital and Children's Hospital. We've been talking a lot about his experience with burnout, how he powered through for, like, I would say the first part of his burnout, kind of took some small measures to fix it. But that, of course, didn't make it better until there was a breaking point. And usually that's what tends to happen to people. I think that there's like this big breaking point that makes you realize what's going on in your life. So we'll take a short break, but stay tuned for the second part of our conversation, where we'll continue to talk to Sean about stress among doctors and how they deal with it.
Welcome back to the Big Life Podcast on Full Service Radio. We are Lena Salazar
and Ingrid Weishus,
broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Washington, D.C. And today we are with Sean Tabai. He's an orthopedic surgeon specializing in pediatric trauma working in the D.C. area. During the first part of the show, we talked to Sean about his experience of burnout as a physician, and he shared with us sort of like how he realized that stress and burnout were impacting his relationships, his mood, and of course his performance at work. And that's the point when he realized that he needed to make changes, right? And among those changes are exercise. He also implemented, let's say, like planning and raising morale among his team, his current team. And we also talked about something very interesting, which was this culture of pushing through, right? Which is so dominant in the medical establishment. And this is like a perfect way to enter into the second half of the show, where we want to talk, Sean, about, like, use your own experience to talk a little bit about the paradox of stress in the doctor's office. Because we assume that because doctors are very much aware of the effects of stress in the body, in the mind, etc., they should know how to deal with it. And we did a lot of research before this show, and we found a survey from Medscape, for example, that showed that physician burnout jumped from 40% in 2013 to 51% in 2017. And it's just like very prevalent among physicians. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you live through burnout and in like among your colleagues? Like, how do they experience stress and burnout? How prevalent do you see it, like, in the workplace?
Sure. You kind of touched on it. I think doctors are always known to be the worst patients. Mm-hmm. And I think with burnout and stress, it kind of falls in line with that. I don't think I've ever had anyone tell me from a colleague that they're experiencing burnout, but you can definitely see when it's happening. And I can see that it's becoming more of a conscious thing among the community, because now in our conferences, you know, a lot of our pre-course topics or post-course topics are around physician wellness and burnout. I mean, I learned an interesting fact that a third of doctors are on some antidepressant medication. I mean, that's one out of three. And I don't think...
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts. So, for example, I have 9 partners. So that means 3 of us are experiencing, you know, some issues in that respect. Yeah. I think, again, even though we talked about, like, the shifting paradigm of people becoming more open to talk about stuff, I think it's still very taboo to come out and say, I'm burnt out. But I think it is nice that the community is starting to acknowledge it in the fact that, you know, there's more things set up for us as far as, you know, to make us more open to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've seen... In my training, residency training, you know, people quit, fellow residents quit because they were burned out. You know, I've seen a lot of failed relationships, including divorces or, you know, because of burnout. And even when I've talked to friends who haven't acknowledged they're burned out, I could tell that they're burned out because they're, like you were talking about before, productivity has definitely decreased. You know, someone who's, you know, wanting to be so involved in the operating room and then is just cutting down and not around as much. And even, unfortunately, one of our partners a year ago, he had, you know, a heart attack, and he was he was 55 years old, but, you know, the most active, one of the most active people in our department, you know, avid cyclist. And, you know, he never told me he's having burnout, but on the outside, he was super healthy. So I can only imagine how much stress, you know, he was having internally that led to that.
Yeah, I feel like that's such a big part of the conversation too, because in my experience and with a lot of my clients, they're doing quote unquote all the right things. So they'll eat well, they'll exercise, but the big piece missing in their life is that stress management and how do you deal with community, right? Because it feels isolating. And I think that's a trend that you touched upon, that you feel like you're alone. I don't want to talk to anyone. And then when you realize that there are people around you that are going through the same thing, that's when you realize, like, oh, okay, so what do we, how can we change that, right? Yeah. And I feel like what you pointed on earlier on the show, where you have office meetings, have group meetings, you meet with everyone, you try and build community. I think that makes a huge difference, right?
And I think it's, you have to separate, you know, work from home. You know, as a doctor, you want to treat people, you want to help people. You don't want, you don't, I mean, your job is not to burn your own issues on them, right? And people come and looking at you. So it's, you, when you go home at times, I think that can continue, and you, mm-hmm. you don't want to open up, but you have to find your support system in whatever way that is, friends, family, you know, activities where you can separate work from your outside life. You know, this is a profession. Sometimes I don't consider it work, but it is, you know, it is still a job. It's, so if your day, 24 hours a day, is consist on, you know, the same thing, then that thing, that's when things add up. Yeah. And again, easier said than done, but
yeah, we talk about it a lot. I think Lena touched upon it in our previous episode, the concept of workism, where your life is just simply defined by your work, and then there's nothing outside of it. Then that leads us to burnout, and I think that's exactly the point that you're making. So now, what are the things outside of work that you, look forward to?
Well, I mean, right now, I think the biggest highlight of my day is seeing my daughter. So, you know, going home, and my friends always talked about, oh, when you're, your kid come runs up to you, it's the best thing. And I'm like, okay, cool. But now I really,
it is true.
Yeah, I understand. Like when I walk home or when I get in and she, you know, she like, her face lights up, or she like, she has this really fast scoot and she like runs towards me. And that is great. I mean, during the day, you could ask my wife, whenever I'm stressed, I FaceTime them. And I was never a FaceTimer. I hated talking on the phone, even to my parents or wife. But now, like probably 4 or 5 times a day, I'll call them or call the nanny on the FaceTime and then be like, you know, let me just take a look at Landon and like have her like babble, and that'll like de-stress me. So family time is great. And obviously, you know, being involved in like sports or, you know, exercise, that's for me at least the best way to kind of get out that, you know, extra aggression or tension, or kind of sweat it out, you know.
Which speaks to the fact that you yourself have identified sort of like those ingredients, right, of how you de-stress, let's say.
Right.
Tell me, we spoke a little bit about, before the show, about your wife and the fact that she's a nurse practitioner. And that made me think of the question about gender and burnout. Right. Do you see any difference of how women deal with burnout, like women physicians deal mm-hmm. with burnout versus men?
I mean, I think women physicians are even quieter or about their burnout or their stress than men, because the, you know, the culture, there's not that many female, you know, surgeons or orthopedic surgeons. So the culture, it was a male driven culture. So the women that are in the field, you know, want to prove their worth. And every woman I've ever worked with has been great, as, you know, equivalent to any man. But I think to them, they still want to, you know, show their worth. And that's unfortunate, because there's such a discrepancy. And, yeah. You know, so I think in that respect, from my colleagues that I've talked to, they're worried to even come out and say anything, because they don't want it to be taken as a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's, so I think, unfortunately for the, you know, females in healthcare, it could even be worse than even for men. In addition, they have other stressors, you know, women that want to have children and stuff. That's a whole different avenue that I don't think men experience. So I think, you know, that's a bigger problem. And I think the discrepancy with that even is bigger than we probably know.
Yeah. So why don't you, I mean, you've talked a lot about this, I mean, over the conversation, during the conversation, about the things that you do. Mm-hmm. But if you, let's say, like an audience of doctors and physicians is listening to you right now, what are things that you would advise or tell them in order to, let's say, first identify burnout, demystify that you could be facing burnout, and things or first steps?
Okay. I mean, I think things they should look for is if they have feelings of just not being happy. Mm. You know, if they feel like their energy level or mood is changing, if they feel that their interactions with their friends outside of work is being affected, if they ever feel like they don't have time for certain things. I think those are like the things where are should be the eye-opening moments where you're like, okay, well, why is this happening?
How can they identify it? And then maybe what would you tell them to sort of like enable them or making it easier to accept that they may be facing it?
Yeah. I mean, I think when you realize that other aspects of your life are being affected, I think that's when they should, it's hard, easier said than done, but to reach out and ask people to kind of get their perspective, be like, what do you think, you know, how do you think things are going, you know, in the last couple months, both at work and at home? Because getting other people's feedback can really reinforce what you're feeling. Sometimes you think you're feeling a certain way, but you act like nothing's different, or you think nothing's different. But I think sometimes people see like these little cues or see little changes that they can kind of help. And it's being willing to like reach out to people and just asking them, you know, what do you think? How I've been acting like in the last few days? And I think for doctors or physicians or anyone, is the only way is to sometimes sit back and be like, all right, how am I going to be a better physician for my patients? If that's your biggest goal, then you have to say, okay, the only way for me to be better for them is if I kind of help myself first. Mm-hmm. Because you might not think it does, but it definitely does affect how your interactions with your patients and how you the ultimate care you provide them.
And based on your experience, and this is more of a macro question, but based on your experience, what or on those like conferences, when you attend conferences, mm-hmm. and they talk about physician burnout and well-being, right? What are things that you think, let's say, the system is doing right? And where is there space for improvement?
Right. I mean, I think the system is doing the right thing by acknowledging it, that this is becoming a problem, and by starting, you know, programs as a general. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great step. But I think they, in a way, it's unfortunately still a lot for show. And they're not really acknowledging the true problem and not really taking the time to make the changes necessary for, you know, people to really get the help they need. So it's easy to say, oh, burnout is an issue, let's have this nice 2-hour session. But then how are they really helping their practitioners? Are they giving them time out of their day if they need to talk to someone, or they need to, you know, do something that'll clear their mind or kind of help them decompress? So that hasn't been done, because it's still ultimately it's still for, you know, productivity and bottom line numbers. So yeah. I think it needs to be less superficial and really more in depth.
Yeah, I think I have that conversation with a lot of people where like, sure, we can come in and do the wellness program and we can talk to you about stress management. But I think the role of a leader, the role of like the higher ups in actually walking the walk, right? I'm not only bringing the person to help you, but I'm also applying it, and I'm making sure that I'm making people below me actually do the things that I say they should be doing. So for me, it's like the question I always ask is, well, do you make people take vacation? And they're like, oh yeah, yeah, they know they have a generous leave policy. I'm like, well, when was the last time you took a vacation? They're like, oh no, I don't have time for that. And I'm like, well, you may have a generous leave policy, but if you're not taking it, then the idea that gets channeled through to everybody else is like, yeah, we have it, but if the person up top is not taking it, then we feel a little bit less comfortable. And I think that that's like the two-prong approach. We need the tools, like you say, and recognizing the problem, but we also need to make sure that everybody is actually implementing it and doing something about it.
I mean, I think right now it's still a checkbox on the list of, you know, compliance stuff. Mm. At least it's got, you know, at least now it is one of those things that people need to check. But, you know, it needs to be more than just checking a box and saying, yeah, I touched on physician wellness with my staff. You know, mm-hmm. now we really need to deep cool. into it. So
thank you so much for your time. And I think this is a good segue to like our outro. And Lena and I both believe that one of the best tools to reduce stress, the stress burden on our bodies, is to focus on the positive things in our lives. And with that in mind, we'd love to know what does living a big life mean to you?
Yeah. I mean, to me, living a big life is living a well-rounded life. I think doing something that you love to do on a daily basis and, you know, making a difference in someone else's life, no matter how it is, I think that's, you know, to me, the biggest part of living a big life. I think having close relationships with your family and your friends is really important. And just not having any regrets on, you know, your day. Absolutely. Every time you put your head down, just thinking back, be like, man, I didn't really waste any part of my day doing something that I didn't want to do. So
yeah. And what's one thing that you're super excited about?
Ooh, I'm super excited to watch my daughter grow up, mm-hmm. especially living in DC in mm-hmm. such a diverse area. I think it'd be great to see, you know, what kind of person she becomes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, professionally, I'm excited about, you know, my position here at Children's. I get to treat and take care of a lot of cool kids and their mm-hmm. families, starting programs for kids with cerebral palsy in this area where it was neglected in the past. That's really, you know, gratifying to me, and I'm excited to see how that'll go. And I'm new, and it's just early in my career, so looking forward to see where, like, the next 5-10 years
That's
leads me.
That's awesome. And then the last question is, if any of this resonated with anyone and they want to reach out for you, or even if they need your services, what's the best way to get in touch with you? How can people connect with you?
Oh, I'm more than happy if people email me directly mm-hmm. At my first initial S and my last name, Tobai, at childrensnational.org. I'd love to just talk to people. I think this has kind of become a passion of mine. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, I'd love to talk to residents and other medical staff that are in their training to kind of share my experiences. But anyone else out there, you know, I would love to just, you know, talk to them and tell them what I went through. So hopefully if they can relate and get some pointers from me, that's awesome. Or maybe I get some pointers from them. So.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, Sean, it was great having you on the show. This was an insightful and provoking conversation, not only for like doctors and physicians, but I think for the general audience. And I think like if you guys agree, I think the biggest takeaways, like the first one, is that burnout doesn't show only on the body, let's say physically. It has a lot to do with how your relationships are going. Is it affecting your work, your mood, right? It impacts your overall life. And as you said, sort of like, are you happy or not, right? Mm-hmm. That levels of satisfaction. The second one, I think that which is an important one, which you talked about, the fact that awareness in the physicians community is increasing around these issues, right? And the fact that there need to be more like systemic changes happening. And the third one, I feel that it was a powerful one, which sometimes we tend to see as fluffy, but it's just the power of connecting. Mm-hmm. You, like, during our conversation, you highlighted many times how you go for like lunch breaks with your team, how you plan ahead when team, like, right? Like, there's that connection, and also sharing with others, listen, I'm burnout, let's talk about this, how opening up and being vulnerable at the same time, in a way. So thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you everyone for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next week.